141 951 1025. It's time to talk football. It's Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Hello and welcome to Wednesday night's Clyde One Super Scoreboard with me, Stephen Mill, in for Gordon Duncan. So that's Scotland's qualifying campaign for Euro 2020 put into the freezer until March, and the playoffs come around, and it has ended with three wins in a row. It was 3-1 against Kazakhstan last night in front of a half-empty Hampden, and that's been generous. But can those trio of wins reignite your passion for the national team? We want to hear from you. 0141 951 1025. It's Bulgaria, Israel, Romania or Hungary in the playoffs, but do we have the right to be confident heading into those matches? And what about the main man, Super John McGinn? He cannot stop scoring for Scotland, but had the Celtic board shelled out an extra few hundred grand, he could have been doing it in the green and white hoop. Celtic fans, do you rue the day that the Bean Counters at Parkhead said no to Hibs? Also, Rangers Colts know their Challenge Cup semi-final opponents, and so did Partick Thistle, but are the Jags on the verge of a takeover? Colin Weir and his Euro Millions appear to be back on the scene. Thistle fans, what do you make of that? As ever, you can get in touch on Twitter at Clyde SSB, and that number is 0141 951 1025. To guide us through this evening until 8 o'clock, I'm joined in the studio by Jim Duffy and Mark Guidi. How are we doing, lads? You alright?
Yeah, good Stephen. Yep. Good show tonight. Good one for Scotland. The SPFL Premiership's back Saturday, Sunday. Old firm going at it. Jack Ross, first game in charge of Hibs, and Hearts, Austin McPhee likely to be in charge, but we expect a new Hearts manager to be appointed next week.
Is that the latest? Is that an exclusive from Mark Guidi?
It's just a thought. I think it will be. I think I always thought that they would go sporting director first and then the head coach, Stephen. I think with interviews that have taken place, I expect that a new manager will be appointed next week. And then Austin McPhee, I think, will be offered the sporting director's job if he wants to take it. So I think Austin would probably have a, not have a say in who's getting it, but he'd certainly meet the new guy and see how they go on. And if there's something there, I think Austin's the perfect candidate. That said, if Hearts go and beat Kilmarnock 3-4-5-0, it's another great show. It's good attacking football. Who's to say he's not in the frame? Who's to say he shouldn't be given a longer crack at it?
Absolutely. Our focus for the first part of the show will be Scotland, though. Jim Duffy, as I mentioned, it is the end of what has been a pretty traumatic campaign, hasn't it? But it has ended with three wins. It was good in the second half, not so good in the first half. What did you make of the game last night, Jim?
Yeah, I actually thought we were okay in the first half. I mean, I think we tend to look for perfection. And, you know, sometimes you've got to feed your way into the game. And we lost to an outstanding goal. Yeah, you can always look and say, you know, McKenna should have went out, pushed him on his right foot because he's all left foot, all these kind of things, not allowed him to shoot. But take that aside, you know, I thought Scotland were okay. Not much, much better in the second half. You're right, Stephen, but you know, we still passed the ball. We didn't panic. You know, we didn't lose sight of what we're trying to do and how we're trying to play. And that's important. And eventually we got an early equaliser, and that gave us the confidence. And I think helps also the confidence of supporters. And listen, it's been a poor campaign, let's be honest. But I think we have to look from, you know, over the last three games. And yeah, and it's not been the toughest opposition. We understand all these things. But I think before these three games, I think we all thought we might actually struggle against Cyprus and against Kazakhstan to even get any kind of result. So to beat those two, all right, San Marino, we always should have won comfortably. So I think you know, we've got to be a bit positive. The difficulty for Stevie Clark is at least 4 months before you play another competitive match, and the squad and changes so much. How does he build anything? Does he stick with these guys that have shown that they want to play for the country, that, you know, have turned up when one or two have pulled out? Or does he kind of throw that away and say, no, I just need all the best players available. Let's see if we can get to Euro 2020.
Is this the beginning of the positives starting to seed through for Steve Clark, though, Mark Guidi?
I think I agree with Jim. First half, you're losing 1-0. There's a wee bit of doom and gloom. But I think the early goal did settle them down. And I have to say, watching the second half, just watched it in the box last night, Stephen, I thought some of the combinations were really, really good. And you could see what Steve Clark's been trying to do, and you could see the benefits of having 7 days' work with the players from when they met up to prepare for the Cyprus game. Greg Taylor slotting it at left back. I mean, mm-hmm. why have we got so many good good left back? I mean, he's terrific. Mm-hmm. In there, Christy linking up, Ryan Jack looking the part in the middle mm-hmm. of the park. David Marshall saw it again. Stephen Naismith leading the line. That could just solve the number nine mm-hmm. problem if he can stay fit until March. James Forrest again, just kicking on. John McGinn, obviously. But I thought some of the play, the combinations, the passing, the movement, the amounts of shots on goal, that you can tell there's good body language in the team as well. They're comfortable with each other and they want to go and do well. And that's what they managed to put on. Being a goal down, and there's usually playing in front of less than 20,000. You imagine a full house when they're all at it, whether it be Bulgaria, Romania, Israel, Hungary, whoever we get. I really fancy Scotland strongly if they can keep a group of players fit to get through, because I was really, really chuffed with last night.
We will focus on the playoffs a little bit later on in the show, but let's go to the lines. Plenty of calls coming in. Let's speak to David. You're the first caller on Clyde One Super Scoreboard tonight from St George's Cross. Don't know what you're doing in the background there. How you doing, David? You all right?
I'm all right. I'm just starting to like the football, actually. But
on you go.
Right. Last night, I say Scotland looks a wee bit grittier for the first time in a long time. And we need to start getting the basics right, which I think we're doing. And that's, we couldn't beat Kazakhstan at the start of the campaign. We've done it this. We should be beating Kazakhstan and we should be beating Cyprus. We're doing that now. And that's what we need to concentrate on. Let's talk about finishing higher than we're seeding later on when we get the basics right a lot more often. And we get a team, a settled team, I think, which might be there in the next few years because of the age of the group as well. I just wonder what you think that, and I'll maybe come back on the John McGinn thing with Celtic as well.
Yeah, I mean, I agree with you, David, wholeheartedly. I think, you know, you've got to take baby steps and get that organisation. Stevie Clark saying, even though the personnel changes, he's wanting to try and get the way he wants to play. So last night, it was almost like a 4-4-1-1 with John McGinn supporting Naismith. Two wide players in Forrest and Christie, with two kind of not quite holding midfield players, but sitting there, you could call it a 4-2-3-1 or a 4-4-1-1. But the back four was solid, was compact. You know, as I said, restricted Kazakhstan to very, very few chances. You know, the midfield, you know, good energy about us, good legs. And, you know, Stephen Naismith is a bonus for us. There's no doubt about that. And you know, you can see how important he is, you know, just leading the line and those kind of leadership qualities as well. I mean, you feel a wee bit sorry for Craig Levein now, because if he'd had him fit for Hearts, he may well have still been in a job. But he does give us something a little bit more up top. So, yeah, I'm with you. I wouldn't be rushing to change it too much. Again, you can never tell how form, how injuries are come March. But the group we had last night looked a decent group of players who all wanted to play for Scotland. And it's really important that you want to play and show that passion, and that transmits on to the supporters.
Mark Guidi, do you think that David's right? It's about getting back to basics before we can take on those bigger challenges.
Well, it's about getting through the playoffs, Stephen. David, you know, I don't see the point in looking 2, 3, 4 years ahead, because I've got a great chance to qualify in March. We won't be given a better chance. This is the best chance we've had in 20 years to qualify for a tournament. So yeah, let's look at that. If we qualify in March, as we know, the nation, it will just be lift off. If we don't, I don't know how we qualify, and I don't know when we qualify after that, to be perfectly honest. This is our best chance, and we can't blow it. We shouldn't blow it, because we should be more than capable of getting through.
Yeah, let's not think of the negatives. David, do you want to come back in on that?
Well, I'm not disputing that, to be honest, Mark. I think that this is our best chance. As I agree, taking baby steps possibly for 4 or 8 years at least, until we can build a bigger squad. I think we are capable of getting through, but we need a wee bit of positivity. That can't be all and end all. We've got to accept our place. We're not a top tier team. We're not even a second tier team. We've got to accept that maybe you look at that Norway team and there's good talent in that. So if we get Norway in the final, I think, assuming we get through the semi-final, of course, but I think we will. If we get Norway in the final, I think that would be a struggle, because they're a cracking team and they've got really good talent. So if we get through that and Norway put us out with the odd goal, is it going to be a huge disaster? I would be no getting to the tournament, but, you know, they're a decent team and there's decent challenges there.
David, you were wanting to make a point about John McGinn as well.
I don't think the John McGinn thing, although I accept Celtic probably didn't want to pay just anymore, and they might have. I don't think Hibs ever wanted to sell John McGinn to Celtic. I really don't. I think they wanted to get the bigger money down south, and for the boy as well, because he was never going to earn that sort of money at Celtic. I just don't think it was ever going to happen. I think it was a bit. And also as well, you look at McGregor and Brown in there. Would McGinn have got a game? I don't know, and that might not have been the best thing for his career.
Well, I think the thing is, listen, it's all hypothetical now because it was a long time ago. But I think if Celtic would have put another £1 million on the table, it wouldn't have mattered. Hibs would have definitely taken it. And the player, I think, you know, Aston Villa were in the Championship at that time, would probably could have got the same amount of money. But taking all that consideration, David, it allowed the emergence at Celtic of Ryan Christie. That was the big thing, because if you look at him last night, he played in that advanced midfield role, and that's what he's been doing under Stevie Clark, getting forward, breaking from midfield, getting to support the striker. And he's been not only scoring goals, but he's having shots at goal. He's been a threat at goal. He's been terrific. So from that point of view, you know, McGregor and Brown might well have played, but he may well have played in advance. The fact is, as I said, that Celtic didn't sign him. Then, as I said, the whole thing turned around for Ryan Christie, and now he's the guy in that role, and obviously they've got Tom Rogic as well. So I don't think it's impacted Celtic, because I think, listen, the success Celtic's had has been incredible. But for John McGinn, I think it was better for him to go to England. I think that's the bottom line. He's went to England, he's got promotion, he's went into the Premiership as if he's always been there. He's just absolutely slipped into there seamlessly. And his performance levels and confidence and belief has just went through the roof.
Thank you very much for your call, David. Let's go to the next line and speak to Brian from Stirling. What's your point, Brian?
Good evening, chaps. Slightly off my original point, I'm going to quickly tell you one thing. John McGinn was never, ever, ever, ever going to Celtic. They could have offered £12 million and Hibs would have snapped their money up, and John McGinn had already made this statement. Now, here's where I know his agent is a friend of mine and a friend of the family's, and he was never going to Celtic. So let's put that one to bed right now. It's a silly statement to make. John McGinn was never going to Celtic. End of story. What I'm going to talk about...
He was going to Celtic, Brian. He would have gone to Celtic.
He wouldn't have.
He would have.
I can tell you, Gut.
No, I'll tell you, and I know better than you, he would have gone to Celtic. Right. That's 100%. No, anyway, move on. Carry on.
Anyway, we'll move on. So here's the thing, right? We've got a manager in place, the new, who at Scotland level, because that's who I want to speak about, Stevie Clark, who's proven himself the bits and things at Kilmarnock. But a luck, he would have been in a better position than he's at the new. Look at the managers that are getting. I mean, Pochettino or whatever it is, because it's public opinion. All right, he's down in 14th. This is a guy that was the European Cup finalist, European Cup Champions League finalist last year. The shyster that is Mourinho stepping into the job. So Scotland had a great wee manager in Gordon Strachan. And I know it was an expensive option for the guys, the suits at the SFA. If we'd continued down the line and just stuck with it, without their public opinion, or was it a Celtic or the Rangers thing, you know, hey, against them, be Strachan. Strachan had a brilliant Scotland team, a progressive Scotland team. And the boys, the person who's getting the fruit of that labour right now, I mean, I'm going to forget about McLeish in between because he was a disaster, but the guy who's getting the fruit of that Gordon Strachan era is Stevie Clark. So what my point is that regardless of whether we have a, you know, it's been 1998 since we need a different formula. We need to work with this guy. We need to give him the tools because he's a good manager. He's a good old-fashioned Scottish manager. You saw that he got a reaction out of the boys last night in the second half, but he got a reaction in a way that was particularly Scottish, because in, you know, like when we were kids, you know, we went to tournaments, we qualified for things, we punched above our weight, and all this, oh, we're no this tier or that tier. You know, let's work to the Scottishness of the game rather than trying to be Europeans or, you know, like play like a particular style. Work to like what we've done in that second half. Get in there, make sure that they know they're in a game. And use our flair players like the McGinns, like the Christies, be McGregor. And I mean, I just think that if there's a public outcry that we don't make this tournament and it costs that Stevie Clark his job, that we're doing the same thing as what we've done to Gordon Strachan. Gordon Strachan should still be in that job, and no disrespect to Stevie Clark, I think he's in the same mould, but Gordon Strachan was progressing in the job, and we can't say that about any of the managers we've had since, you know, way back, you know, that I remember, you know, since Alex Ferguson, since...
I think I know what you're saying about I know what you're saying about Gordon Strachan, Brian, and I agree with your point, but also if I put myself in the SFA shoes, I think it was time for a change in terms of, he did have two campaigns and we didn't qualify. We did come close, particularly getting to the last game for Euro 2016. But I didn't think at the time that we would get a better manager than Gordon Strachan, somebody with a better CV. I thought that was always going to be difficult. I can understand why they went for Mike O'Neill back then and it didn't work out. But as much as I agree, I rate Gordon Strachan, I think he was a good Scotland manager. Ultimately, didn't he do what he was paid to do, and that's to get us to qualify. But I did think it was time for a change. You know, that's the way I think it has to go. And now that we've got Steve Clarke in place, like I said, I think that come March for these playoff games, considering we look at the potential first opponents for the, if you want to call it, the semi-final, then I think that we're in a really strong position to go and qualify. So I know what you're saying about Gordon Strachan, I tend to agree, but also can see the SFA's point, why they wanted to change when they did.
Yeah, I mean, the first thing I said, you mentioned Jose Mourinho and called him a shyster, which is a disgrace, to be honest with you, Brian. He's one of the most successful managers in football history. Outstanding record of winning trophies at the top level. So how you can say that, I'll never know. But regarding Stevie Clarke, you know, I kind of get back to, you know, we have to move on. Sometimes, you know, we're people saying, well, you know, would Celtic regret not signing John McGinn? Will Scotland regret not having gone? That's gone. These things are done. So what we do is we get behind the current manager, Steve Clarke. He needs everyone's support, he needs everyone's belief in him. And we've got possibly two massive matches to come up next year. And that's really all that matters, as Mark says. You know, you can forget that campaign. Now that campaign's gone, it's done, finished. Good, bad or indifferent, it's away. We've got two games to focus on. We've got one really to focus on. Get that semi-final, get a win, and then focus on the final. And that's it really, in a nutshell.
0141 951 1025. Thanks to Brian giving us a call tonight. We'll continue taking your calls, I should say, at Clyde SSB if you want to get involved in Twitter. We'll hear from the main man from last night, Stevie Clarke, and also John McGinn next, and we'll get the travel with Amber.
Clyde One Super Scoreboard with Thompson's Road Accident Solicitors, the compensation you deserve when you've been sidelined. Talk to Thompsons.com.
Welcome back to the show. It's 25 past six. It's Stephen Mill in for Gordon Duncan. A wee bit chat. This will be my last night on Super Scoreboard. Gordon will be back tomorrow, but we'll reveal a wee bit more about that after 7 o'clock, because it's going to be quite fun, I think. So we're chatting about Scotland at this moment in time, and it seems like the main focus is about John McGinn. He has been in sensational form for the national side. So let's hear what his manager, Steve Clarke, had to say about it.
John's in a fantastic run of form. He's been great for Aston Villa over the last couple of seasons anyway, and he's starting to bring that into the national stage, or the international stage, if you like. And it's also very important to remember that John is still in the early stages of his international career, and the more games you play at this level, the better you become, the more experience you get at this level, the better the team will become. And that's what we're doing at the moment. These boys are getting their caps, they're getting a little bit more experience. You look at someone like Stephen Naismith, who's a great example to them all. Stephen plays with good experience at this level, and it was great to see Naismith get his goal as well.
Mark Guidi and Jim Duffy in the studio with me tonight. Steve Clarke obviously will be delighted to have someone like John McGinn. He's a manager's dream, isn't he?
Yeah, he's been brilliant. He's really, you know, stepped up to the plate. A great determination. You can see a better maturity in him. Obviously playing in the Premiership for the past 3 months, he's just taken to that without a problem. Lit up the Championship last season down south. We'll just discuss it there at the break. I mean, and I think John McGinn now, I don't think Aston Villa will sell him in January. I think they gave him a new contract. I'll say that next summer, John McGinn will join one of the top four in England for a minimum £40 million. That will happen.
Is that the sort of price
range?
I
wouldn't be surprised if he ends up at Liverpool.
Mm-hmm. Is that the sort of price range, Jim Duffy, you think?
Yeah, I think so nowadays. You know, that's the thing, particularly when you play in England. I mean, the whole debate up here is about Morelos and Edouard and all these kind of things, what they're worth. But listen, you know, that's just the nature of playing in Scotland. But in England, if you can do it, the Championship straight away, that probably makes him a 20-25 million pound player. But doing it in the Premiership, yeah, you're right, maybe even doubles that. So there'll be a lot. If he continues progressing as quickly as he has done, then they'll definitely, I'm with Mark, there'll be a number of clubs, top clubs, looking for him, and you know, whether Aston Villa want to cash in was up to them. But if they stay in the Premier League first and foremost, that'd be a huge bonus to them. And then if they get the you know, if John then gets that next move, then all credit to him. But I like the way John McGinn plays. Matt has used the term maturity that he has, but he's also still got that kind of almost a natural enthusiasm for playing. You
like
know,
a schoolboy in the playground.
Almost, still seems to just love playing football.
Aye.
But he's cleverer, you know, as well. But, and he's got that wee bit of game knowledge now. But he just seems to play almost off the cuff at times, with that energy, enthusiasm, a smile on his face, and almost like, I don't care who I'm playing against, I think I can take care of this guy. Doesn't matter who it is. Doesn't matter if it's a top superstar or someone you've never heard of. John McGinn just seems to gain with that mentality in it, and I love that about him.
And adding so many goals to these games as well. Steve from Renfrew has given us a shout. You're a Celtic fan. We were chatting about this earlier on. Obviously, that's in the past in terms of if John McGinn could have signed for Celtic, etc. So how far can this guy go? Steve, what do you think?
I think he's a top talent, and I'm pretty sure I agree with the guys, but it's in his future worth. But all I'd say on the point about John McGinn signing for Celtic is that the player that John McGinn is now, I don't think would be the same player we'd have if he had signed for Celtic. I'll tell you why. He did a season in the Championship with Aston Villa, and you've got to admit, Championship, he's playing against players there that are of a quality and of a quantity all the time, a full season. In Scotland, you're not getting that. The best players are going to be the top two teams, basically. So you're only getting tested maybe 3 or 4 times a season. So his development with Celtic over the last year and a bit, he wouldn't have been the player he is now, I don't think. And for me, I think that's better for Scottish football. He did leave. So as a Celtic fan, yeah, they wanted him to come to Celtic. But now, the player he is, I don't think he would have been the same. He developed the same. He'd probably got to that level at some stage. But he's gotten there quicker, playing in a higher quality league against better players week in, week out, are constantly testing them, training at a higher level as well. So for me, the team itself I've got just now, I don't miss John McGinn, the John McGinn of Hibs. I would miss him as the John McGinn of Aston Villa, and I don't think we could afford him, because as you say, £40 million player, definitely, plus that, that's not the kind of player we can afford to get at that kind of money at this moment in time.
Yeah, I think Steve makes good points here. I mean, I think that if he's saying for Celtic, Celtic's dominating most of the game, so they're on the front foot. Other aspects of the game take a little bit longer to learn. You know, you have to play in the European games, for instance, to get maybe that defensive side of it and that tactical side, because Celtic, as I say, they're dominating it. Whereas in the Championship, you maybe get that quicker because there's so many competitive games, 46 league games for a start, you know, so you're playing, you know, with cup games over 50 games. You know, obviously people can look at the European side for Celtic not having that experience, but over that period of time, I think Steve's right. I think he learns maybe more, you know, over that 1 year at all different levels of his game. Yeah. You know, not just the technical side, not just the, you know, the supporting play side, you know, the, you know, attacking side, but all the other aspects. I think if you look at, say, McGregor, for instance, at Celtic, the first couple of years everyone thought he was a good player, but he was a nice player.
Yeah.
Now they're looking at almost a complete midfield player. Mm-hmm. But that took him maybe 3 or 4 years. So I think that's a fair comment for Steve.
Do you think that his development has accelerated going down south, Mark?
Yeah, there's no doubt about that. I think Steve's absolutely right. I think he would have been a success at Celtic. There's no doubt he would have been a success at Celtic. But going down the road and getting into the Premiership after 1 year has certainly, yes, accelerated is the right word. Still a quality player, would still have improved going to Celtic. Mm-hmm. But I think going down south has worked wonders for him. And anything else we talk about is hypothetical.
Exactly. Let's go to the next line. Thank you very much for your call, Steve. And speak to Josh from Irvine. You're a Rangers and also a Scotland fan. And I'm guessing you're a fan of John McGinn as well.
Yes, guys. Absolutely. I don't think I'm at a loss for words with John McGinn. I said a couple of years ago to my mates when Hibs were coming up, and that I thought that John McGinn was going to be a seriously good player, and he was going to play at a very high level. But since he's moved to Villa, he's actually confounded my own expectations. I think now he's in a different stratosphere to anything that I thought it could be. You seen last night his energy levels, he's that big bum of his, the way he just turns players, and he's since he's went to Villa, I think he's maybe moved forward a bit into an even more attacking role, and that's actually turned him into a more all-rounded player. And I want to thank him as well for putting my coupon up last night. So
always a bonus.
That's the thing, Josh. I mean, just to see him add goals to his game is fantastic as well.
Yeah, I mean, we're not a team that has a lot of goal threats, you know. And going forward, I really think that he is going to be central to what Stevie Clark is planning to do with the team. In terms of that kind of centre attacking mid stroke, centre mid role, pushing forward. Last night, I think there were a lot of positives from last night. I don't know if the guys will agree with me though. Just on to touch on something else on Scott McKenna. I think that Scott McKenna is stagnating a wee bit at Aberdeen. I think when he wanted to the move last transfer window, I think it was last transfer window anyway, I think that was the time that he probably should have moved. I think he's a wee bit stagnant at Aberdeen, and actually from what I've seen over the last two Scotland games, I think he's actually going backwards a wee bit, which is a shame because I think he's probably one of the biggest prospects for Scotland going forward. I don't know what the guys, what Mark and Jim think of that.
Funny, if you say to me who they prefer, the Scott McKenna of 18 months ago or so, or the Scott McKenna of now, I'd be tempted to say the Scott McKenna of 18 months ago. I think you're right, and that's with the greatest respect to Aberdeen. I think there's a natural point at the parting of the ways where Aberdeen cash in, where they could have, I know for sure they could have had £7 million for him, and they knocked it back, and probably the boy wanted to go, but Aberdeen stood firm, which credit to them for that in many ways. But I think one thing about Scott McKenna in his defence, in terms of Scotland, he needs to find a settled partner, and only then, now who that partner is I don't know, only Steve Clark's going to know that, but I don't think that's done him any favours, not having a settled partner. But yeah, when we were talking a minute I saw about John McGinn's progress, how it's accelerated, I would agree with you. I think Scott McKenna's probably, you know, it's been a bit stagnant of late.
Yeah, I mean, he's had a stop start, he's had injuries, and that doesn't help. And when you, and as Matt says, when you've had different partners off at Aberdeen, yeah, you know, Mikey Devon was injured, and then Constantine was in, and then, you know, they've had different players in, so he hasn't really got himself settled into either the Aberdeen side on a regular basis or the Scotland side, and I think that definitely hinders you. But I agree, in a sense, I wouldn't say he's stagnated at Aberdeen, but I don't think he's progressed as much. And again, sometimes it can play in your head. You might think, oh, that opportunity I had to maybe move is maybe gone, and all these sort of things start to impact on your game. But he's got to clear his head. He's got to get back to playing on a regular basis. Aberdeen can be more consistent. They have been a bit more recently. That'll help him. So for me, he needs another, you know, half a season or more. Certainly up until next summer, he has to now look for consistency. If he finds that, being 6'3", being left footed, being quick, being a centre back, there will be opportunities to move. So he's got to put the last couple of months behind him and then move forward again. In terms of John McGinn, listen, I was the manager of Morton when John McGinn is playing the same division, played against him four times at Hibs, probably watched him at least probably another half a dozen times through watching Hibs play. And I'll be honest with you, I never seen John McGinn going to this level as quick as that. Never. But someone has said to me from down south, what do you think? And I've said, he's a decent player, he's strong, he's powerful, he's fitness up box to box. But I never thought he had as much in him. So fair play to the boy, because I think he deserves an enormous amount of credit for having the mentality to go and play at that level and not be fazed by it 1%.
Yeah, it has been fantastic. Let's hear from the man himself.
Enjoying the way the team's playing. It seems to be benefiting me, and obviously benefiting the squad. It was well documented how bad a start to the campaign was, and we weren't playing well, we weren't contributing, and that's probably why the crowds have been so little. But if the Scottish support, the ones that were here tonight, they saw a performance in the second half which hopefully gets bums back on seats, and I'm sure in the playoff games in March it will be a full house here, and hopefully we can perform like that. It's important, I think, the first time since I've been involved in the squads there's been two starting 11s that have stayed the same. it's not very often that happens, so it's good to get a bit of continuity, and we're starting to get used to each, how each other play. I think me and Aze seem to have a good relationship up top, and there seems to be partnerships developing all across the park, so it's only positive. It was massively important that we won these two games, and we've managed to do that, so hopefully building that for March.
Josh, are you feeling positive ahead then of the playoffs this coming March?
I really am, guys. That was the other thing I kind of wanted to touch on with you. Last night I thought was really a demonstration of the stark difference to what Stevie Clark is beginning to get going for us right now. I know it was only Kazakhstan, but last night we had a poor first half. I thought we dominated, but without kind of being lethal enough in the final third. I thought their goal was a bit of a fluke. It was a bit of a blend of a fluke and poor defending from Scott McKenna. But I thought at half-time, Stevie Clark went in, he addressed the situation. I don't think he would have went in and gave the hairdryer treatment, but I think he's a better operator than that. I think he would have went and addressed what we were doing wrong. And you've seen in the second half that we came out and we just dominated, you know, time after time. Palmer on the right, who I was actually very impressed with, on the left-hand side Taylor. As well. Taylor, I thought was okay as well. And I thought the team last night actually done themselves no harm for the playoffs coming up. I think the likes of Robertson obviously will come in for Taylor, and I think possibly McTominay will come in, but I think Stevie Clark really starting to see the difference now as to what Stevie Clark is doing with the team, which is what, you know, the Scotland fans have all really been wanting for a long period of time. But having said that, it's not a gimme, these playoffs. You know, there's still a lot of work for Stevie Clark to do in terms of building, and if we don't make these playoffs, then we still need to just keep pushing on and give Stevie Clark more time.
Thank you very much for your call, Josh. We are going to focus on those playoffs in just a wee second. It's 0141 951 1025.
Clyde One's Cash for Kids Mission Christmas. In partnership with Wholesale Domestic Bathrooms Hillington. Proud to support Cash for Kids.
We are rapidly approaching Christmas now, and you'll know this time of year is all about making plans with friends and family. But it isn't like that for many people across Glasgow in the West. It's just another day, so we want to make Christmas Day a different day for these kids this year, and different means having money in the meter, a hot meal, or maybe even a small gift as well. You can make this happen by supporting Clyde One's Cash for Kids at Mission Christmas this year, and to hear exactly what difference your money makes, just listen to this.
I love my mum and I want to make her feel better so we can do things together again. Me and my brother try our hardest to help her with things around the house, and we know just to leave her alone when she's really sore because she gets headaches a lot and feels sick a lot. I do all these things for my mum because I love her so much and she means a lot to me.
That's Lily, who has to take care of her mum, who is sadly unwell, and there's so many people like Lily across Glasgow in the West, and you can really make a difference to them this year. We can't always make it a magical day, but with your help we can make it a different day for thousands of kids across Glasgow in the West with Cash for Kids Mission Christmas with Wholesale Domestic Bathrooms Hillington and Clyde One. If you want to ensure your donation helps a child in Glasgow in the West this Christmas, then please help Cash for Kids to donate money to this year's Mission Christmas appeal. Just head online right now to clydeone.com. And Clyde One Super Scoreboard continues next.
Clyde One Super Scoreboard with Thompson's Personal Injury Solicitors, the league leader for compensation. Talk to Thompson's.com.
Welcome back to the show. It is 7:15. Jim Duffy and Mark Greedy join me in the studio tonight. Beat the Pundit is coming up in the next 50 minutes. And I hate to say it to you lads, the pundits have been on cracking form the past week or so. So since I've been on last Thursday, there has not been a defeat for the pundits. So the pressure's on you two tonight, lads. So just bear that in mind.
It. Well, you know, something has to change now.
That is true. Your chance to take on one of the guys a wee bit later on. We've been chatting about Scotland. Let's focus on the playoffs now. As I mentioned, it is either Israel, Bulgaria, Hungary or Romania, and Steve Clark's been chatting about that as well.
But listen, it's another good result, great reaction for the players in the second half particularly. I thought we played a lot of really good stuff, we looked a threat going forward, created a lot of chances. I think 9 shots on target is good. So 3 points, another win, 3 wins in a row. So don't know about any of you guys or the media or whatever, but the boys in the dressing room are feeling good about themselves. I think with this group of players, I can be very optimistic because I know what they are thinking in that dressing room. I know they're 100% committed to their country. I know they're desperate to get to a major tournament, Euro 2020s. So we can be very, very optimistic.
Let's go to the lines and speak to Davey from Wishaw, because I think you're a little bit less optimistic, pessimistic even. Davey.
Yes, I'm panel. Good evening.
Hi, Davey.
I went to the game last night with my young boy, and, you know, we'll be totally embarrassed if you get to the Euros. I would prefer if we built a decent young team, get some Scott Gemmell's players through, and a good young team to challenge, because we will be totally embarrassed at the Euros. Bear in mind, we have played San Marino, Cyprus and Kazakhstan, and we've been very fortunate. Apart from the San Marino game, we've been very fortunate. Cyprus outplayed us on Saturday. Totally outplayed us. And last night, we were very fortunate with the barge on the goalkeeper, the Kazakhstan goalkeeper, that gave us their goal. And really, I mean, I've listened to Super Scoreboard for a long, long time, but I don't agree with the panel. And the Garden John McGinn is a fantastic player, but goals against these teams doesn't make him a brilliant player.
Well, first of all, Davey, we're not basing his valuation or his progression as a player on Scotland. We're basing it actually probably 80% of it, what he's doing for Aston Villa week in, week out in the Premiership and for the year before that. So what, scoring two goals last night and scoring, is it five games in a row now he scored for Scotland? We're talking about that. But in terms of the valuation, or the fact that I said I think he'll end up at one of the big four in England in the summer transfer window, I'm not basing that on scoring against Kazakhstan or Cyprus. That said, it doesn't do him any harm, but it's what he does for Aston Villa. In terms of taking Scott Gemmell's teams and won't be embarrassed, I have to be honest, Davey, having worked for the past 10 campaigns at Scotland, having made it and having been at France 98 as part of the media and been at tournaments before that, I would take being embarrassed all day long just to get there. And I don't think that Scotland will be embarrassed. We don't know the draw. I think they'll be in with England if they do qualify. They'll have two games at Hampden. So I don't think Scotland will be embarrassed. I'm not saying that they're going to do wonderfully well, but for me, I would rather have us just get through in March and enjoy it, and the whole country having something to look forward to, a new generation of something to look forward to, maybe one or two new heroes emerging. We need that. So I hope that your attitude isn't spreading around the country, because I'm really surprised and really disappointed with what you've said, Davey.
Well, I'm really totally the opposite of you, Mark, because Stephen Naismith has come to the end of his time as well. He just come back from a serious injury, although he scored last night.
Mm-hmm. And what's wrong with that? If you're at the end of your career, what's wrong with that?
There's nothing wrong with it. But
why are you picking up on it then? What's your point about it?
No, my point about it is Scotland are playing the players that they need to play at this minute in time. There's that many players pulled out. And I thought there was a ruling on this that with Arsenal and with Robertson, right, maybe injuries and they're just coming back. But there's supposed to be a ruling on this.
I think Robertson's probably going to miss Liverpool's game anyway. But to get back to your point, I don't understand your point. I think you're trying to find fault and be negative to say it. Just because Stephen Naismith happens to be 34 or whatever and he's only played a handful of games this season, what is wrong with that?
Well, to be perfectly honest, do you think Stevie Naismith will make Euros if we get there?
I'd like to think so. I'm hopeful for his sake, yeah. So you can only go on what he's doing last night. We don't know what will happen 6 months in the future. But I'll ask you again, what is wrong with the fact that a guy's 34 years old? What is wrong with it?
No,
if he's making a contribution. We've been looking for a number nine for the best part of a year now. We've happened to find one who's led the line, who's been under our noses all the time, but he's been injured. So should we not be saying, that's great, we've found a number nine if Stephen Naismith can stay fit? Whether he's 24, 34 or 39, what does it matter as long as he's doing well?
Well, he's done well against lesser teams, Mark. That's my opinion.
But what does it matter? I mean, you can only play against what's there. So what is it? You don't want him to play, you don't want him to do well in the playoff in March because he's 34?
This is my point. He's doing well against lesser teams.
Uh-huh.
If we get there and he comes up against class teams, Scotland will be found out. That's my opinion.
Oh, and you're right, they will get found out. We're not going to go and win it. But why do you not want to get there?
We'll never win it. But
well, exactly. So why don't you want to just get there and just enjoy it?
I would love us to get there, but going there be a younger team who's trying to build for the future for us. Because
up until now, it's all been players that's came in, came back. When Scott Brown retired and Alan McGregor retired for the game, then players are phoning that, you know, I'm injured or I'm not going. There's an excuse there every time. What I'm trying to say, what my point is here, is when Scotland get to this, if we get to the Euros, we will be totally embarrassed.
No, we won't.
Well, Davey, we will move on and go to the next line, because I think John Paul in Fauldhouse has a slightly different opinion. John Paul, how are you doing tonight, pal?
Evening, panel. How's it going?
Very good.
I'm actually listening to that call there, right, and I actually cannot believe what I'm listening to. You know, we're going about Steve Clark come in to do a job, get us to a major tournament, which he's not done. Now, this caller is on there sitting saying that if we get there, we'll get embarrassed, we should be building for the future. So you're basically just saying to fans, come in, don't worry about the next 10, 12 years. We're just going to build for the future, and he's all behalf of that. That is absolute nonsense. I mean, absolute nonsense. Steve Clark's come in, although it's been the best of campaigns, he's won the last three games. He's got players playing in different positions, like John McGinn up the park, scoring more goals. He played a team, the same team, two games in a row, which he's not been able to do. You know, there's something happening. Now, I'm optimistic, but I want to get to the tournament, and who's to say we're going to get embarrassed? You know, that's like saying, I'd love to know what club that guy supports. You know, that's like saying Brendan Rodgers or Neil Lennon or Steven Gerrard saying, you know what, we're just not going to forget. We'll forget about Europe for this for the next 5 years. We're just going to build for the future. How can you keep Scotland fans happy? How can you do it? That's what I want to know.
Yeah, it's a very difficult job, John Paul. Yeah, a very difficult job to keep everybody happy, because you're right. I mean, I think the vast majority, you just want to get to a major tournament because it lifts everybody. And that optimism, enthusiasm and energy, it just makes it so difficult. I mean, think about if at this moment in time, England are qualified, Wales are qualified, Ireland and Northern Ireland are in the playoffs alongside Scotland. If all of those teams, if those four other teams qualify and Scotland don't, everyone's sitting in holiday, you know, in June.
That's what happened
summer.
The last time, yeah, Euro exactly. 2016, John.
You know, everyone's sitting, every other part of the country's sitting there thinking, oh, our team's in it, and everyone's getting excited about it, except for Scotland. It's depressing then, you know. So for me, I agree with you. I mean, if you don't want to go and compete, you know, then, you know, you've got to try against the best. That's how you improve. But just get there. And listen, there's teams like, we've just seen how Finland celebrated. Finland aren't thinking, oh, we'll go and win this. I don't think Wales are thinking we'll go and win this. Yeah. But just that enthusiasm is just so, important for football. And I think it helps the domestic game. Because I think everyone during the summer really gets up for it. And then when the new season starts, everyone's got that wee bit extra optimism for their teams.
John Paul, you want to come back in quickly there?
Aye, just quickly. I watched a game last week, one of the biggest games in world football, Man City v Liverpool. Man City played Liverpool off the park. Absolutely played them off the park, but Liverpool were ruthless because Klopp done his homework and set up in a way where he could attack a counter. So they said, to me, we didn't get embarrassed. No, that's what I was, because it just showed Man City are a better football team than Liverpool, but they're clearly no damn better.
Thank you very much for your call, John Paul. And it's time for this. I've pressed the wrong button there, but it was meant to be. That is the tense music that you will hear for Beat the Pundit. I see how I turned that around there. So it's Mark Guidi and Jim Duffy. If you fancy taking them on tonight and breaking the pundit streak, then it's 0141 951 1025. You have until the start of the news to get involved. And Clyde One Super Scoreboard continues next.
Clyde One Super Scoreboard with Thompson's Personal Injury Solicitors, the form team for compensation for more than 40 years. Talk to Thompsons.com.
Welcome back to Clyde One at Super Scoreboard. It's me, Stephen Mill, in for Gordon Duncan. He will be back tomorrow. We'll explain more about that in just a wee second. But I'm in the studio with Mark Guidi and Jim Duffy, and it's time for this.
Beat the Pundit with the Scottish Sun.
For the best football news and opinion online, thescottishsun.co.uk/football.
Okay, so as I mentioned, lads, it's been a pundit hot streak in this. I like looking at just the pundits' faces at this point, because they all get a wee bit nervous, a wee bit shuffling around. Look at Mark, he's got his hands in his pockets and all the rest of it.
Body language.
That's what it is.
It's
so,
gone, it's gone.
Let's find out who one of you will be taking on tonight. It is Dylan Docherty from Bayliston. How you doing, Dylan? Are you all right?
Aye, no bad, mate, no bad.
Up to anything?
I think I would actually get through, but aye.
Ah, well, there you go, you never know. up to anything exciting tonight? Dylan?
Studying for exams next week.
All right, what are you studying? Anything exciting?
Marine engineering.
Marine engineering, right, okay. So I've got no chat on that, so we'll move on. Who do you fancy taking on, Mark Guidi or Jim Duffy?
Either.
Either. He's no fussy. Right, okay, Mark.
Doesn't matter what one it is, they'll both beat me.
Mark, you are heads and Jim, you are tails. I'll flip the coin just now. Coin has been flipped and tails never fails. Jim Duffy, you are up tonight. I'm going to put Clyde 2 into your headphones. So you're on Clyde 2 now. Give me a thumbs up. Good stuff. And Dylan, you are up first. So are you ready to beat the pundit tonight, Dylan?
I'll try my best, eh?
You'll try your best. That's hopefully it's good enough. We will get 30 seconds on the clock. And Dylan, you can beat the pundit in 30 seconds. Your time starts now. Who scored a double for Scotland last night?
John McGinn.
Which current Premiership club was founded in 1869?
Kilmarnock.
Who will Rangers Colts face in the Challenge Cup semi-finals?
Underneath, Gareth Thistle.
Who was confirmed as Jack Ross's assistant at Hibs yesterday?
Pass.
How many footballs appear on Aberdeen's badge?
One.
Who's the current manager of Livingston?
Oh, I don't know. Oh,
Dylan. Right, okay. No worries. Hang about on the line. I'm going to get Jim Duffy back in the room. What were you listening to there?
Anything Gold, Spandau Ballet.
Oh, excellent. Brilliant Bill stuff. Out. Right, okay. So Dylan has already gone. Jim Duffy, you are up next and your 30 seconds start now. Who scored a double for Scotland last night? Which current Premiership club were founded in 1869?
Ooh, Rangers.
Who will Rangers Colts face in the Challenge Cup semi-finals?
Inverness.
Who was confirmed as Jack Ross's assistant at Hibs yesterday? Potter. How many footballs appear on Aberdeen's badge?
Two.
Who is the current manager of Livingston?
Gary Holt.
Which Hamilton player will be sidelined until the new year with knee surgery?
Oh, Darry McKinnon.
Who was the second Scottish club that Lee Griffiths played for?
Livingston.
Oh, dearie me, Jim Duffy. Let's go to the answers then. Bring Dylan back on and find out how he's both done. So, who scored a double for Scotland last night? It was, of course, John McGinn. So you both got that one right. 1-1. Which current Premiership club was founded in 1869? You said Rangers, Jim. Dylan, you got the correct answer. It was Kilmarnock. You are 2-1 in front. Under pressure already, Jim Duffy. Who will Rangers Colts face in the Challenge Cup semi-finals? You said Inverness, Dylan. Which is the correct answer. And you got that one as well. So three, that's 3-2. Who's been confirmed as Jack Rossi's assistant at Hibs? You passed on that one, Dylan. You got that one right because it was John Potter. Well done, Jim Duffy. So we are at 3-3 now. How many footballs appear on Aberdeen's badge? The answer is one. So Dylan, you got that one correct. Jim Duffy, you said two, yeah. And that is incorrect. So 4-3. Who's the current manager of Livingston? You passed on that one, Dylan, and you got that one right. It is Gary Holt, of course. So 4-4. And then the next two questions, Jim Duffy. Which Hamilton player will be sidelined until the new year after knee surgery? It's Kieran McKenna. You didn't get that one right. And who was the second Scottish club that Lee Griffiths played for? The answer was not Livingston. Dundee. It was Dundee, Mark Guidi. So that means it's a tiebreak. 4-4. So, Jim, you need to...
Is it one of Andy's tiebreaks?
It's one of producer Andy's tiebreakers. So you need to write down the answer on a sheet of paper.
Okay.
And Dylan, you just hang on the line and I'll read the question right now. So... here it is, the tiebreaker for Beat the Pundit on Wednesday night, Clyde One Super Scoreboard. During which minute did John Hartson open the scoring in the 2002 Scottish Cup final? The Rangers went on to win 3-2 against Celtic. Write your answer down, Jim Duffy.
John Hartson, 3-2.
Am I just a guess now?
Yes. Hold up. We have an answer from Jim Duffy. And Dylan, what is your guess?
19th,
Dylan. And what did you say, Jim Duffy? Let me see that again.
62 minutes.
I've
not got a clue. Completely.
Do you want a wee guess, Mark?
Well, I know it was 3-2 to Rangers, so I would say I'd say it's gone for the 12th minute.
Mark Guidi's gone for the 12th.
I thought it would have been early, but not too early.
Dylan,
It was the 19th minute. Congratulations. Oh, you have won. Bang on the button. You have beaten the pundit tonight, Jim Duffy.
I'm being a bit cynical. That just seems really kind of really good guess, that Dylan there. You know, just to be a bit kind of...
Well, listen, a sore loser, Jim Duffy, in the corner there.
Never a good loser.
Congratulations done, to yourself, Dylan. You have beaten
the
pundit.
I'm only 19 years old. That's why I said 19.
That's what it is. Right, you have won, Dylan. Congratulations.
That's why I said 62.
Right, Dylan, thanks for playing along. Thank you, pal.
Well done. Cheers. Well done, Dylan.
Jim Duffy, you've let the team down. Come on.
That was a random number.
This is my last night on Super Scoreboard, so I was hoping to go.
Getting near Christmas, you've got to be. It's a season for giving.
It certainly is, right. Okay. Speaking of which, it is my final Super Scoreboard. I've been on since last Thursday, so thank you very much for having me. Gordon Duncan will be back tomorrow, but we're going to do it with a wee bit of twist because he's obviously been unwell. If you missed this earlier on in the week, he had appendicitis, had to get his appendix out and all the rest of it.
Did they manage to get his holiday though? Did they still have a good holiday?
No.
No.
Are you joking?
No, I don't know, because we were on last Wednesday and he was going away on holiday the following day.
Yeah. He basically got to Glasgow Airport and took ill spent the weekend in Wishaw.
First week off in what, 5 months? That's a shame.
It was 2.5 years. He's never missed a Super Scoreboard. He was going on holiday for his birthday and he never even saw a grain of sand in Dubai, that's unfortunately. But he will be back tomorrow night. He's feeling a wee bit better.
Wishaw's much better in Dubai. He'll be like with Dubai. You're not in Wishaw.
Exactly. And I've actually got a big gig on tomorrow night. I'm doing a Dunfermline Supporters Q&A, so I can't miss that one. So I wasn't available tomorrow night, so Gordon has to be back. So what we're going to do is we're going to do a Twitter poll. So he can't drive yet because he's just had surgery,
right, okay.
So should we A, make him get the train, or B, should we do the show live from his living room with DL and Wilson? What do you think, lads?
I think get the train to his house.
He can't drive now. He knows how Hugh Keevan. So I would get Hugh to go and pick him up in a taxi. And Hugh has to pay for it.
As you get a bus.
Yeah, well, listen, it's up to you. At Clyde SSB, if you want to take part in the Twitter poll. So is it make him get the train, or do we make him do it from his living room? The comfort of his living room. I think we can afford him that. He's not been feeling very well recently, so I think we can do it from his living room.
Oh, his appendix. Don't even need it.
Take him up to Breakin.
So Gordon Duncan will be back tomorrow night in some shape or form. You can have your say. You've only got half an hour to vote on that, so at Clyde SSB if you want to get involved. Right, let's move on to some other stuff. And Partick Thistle, a wee bit earlier on, it's been reported, and we've had it sort of firmed up behind the scenes here as well at Clyde One. It's looking like Colin Weir is going to take over Partick Thistle in a Les Hutchison Motherwell style, buy the club, then sell it back to the fans. Your initial reaction to that, Mark Goody?
I'm very pleased about that, Stephen. I think Colin Weir's been the right man for the club. He's put his money in years ago, the training ground. He put a 5 or 6 year agreement in place for the youth academy to make sure that had a chance to grow and prosper. Without knowing an awful lot about the consortium from down south, all I'd say is I think that's excellent news, and I think it will bring stability back to Partick Thistle and move them forward in the right way.
And of course, Jim, one of your former clubs, of course, and Ian McCall's come in as manager. I guess it's just about turning Thistle around because things hadn't been going well for a long time now.
Yeah, I mean, the last couple of years has been a difficult period for Thistle, and obviously Ian's been in there, and I mean, he has to focus on the first team and focus on getting them towards that playoff position and hopefully promotion, because ultimately that's what Partick Thistle, are looking to achieve. Whether Ian can do it this year or next year, but certainly that'll be his remit. I think Colin Weir coming in, and obviously with the supporters there, they'll be looking at the protection of the club for the longer term, for the next 10, 20, 30 years. But for Ian, as a manager, he'll be focused on the next maybe 18 months, because that's all you can do as a manager if you're lucky. So, but I think that'll give them, as Matt said, it'll give them stability. And again, as I said, that's really important. For any club nowadays, would love to have that possibility of a local investor
with the club at heart. It's the most important thing.
I think every other club will be jealous of Partick Thistle, but I think the Thistle fans should be delighted and should be really looking forward to a bright future now.
Well, let's hear from you then, Jags fans. 0141 951 1025. If you want to give us a call this evening, what are your thoughts, Colin? We are believed to be on the verge of taking over Partick Thistle in a sort of Les Hutchinson style Motherwell situation and giving it back to the fans over the next few years. If you want to give us a call, the lines are open now, and at Clyde SSB as well if you want to get involved in that. Also, Thistle were in the Challenge Cup draw today, so they're at home to Raith Rovers. You're a Raith Rovers expert because you'll be playing them this season as Dumbarton manager. A decent draw for Thistle, I guess, at home. That's all you want in the semi-finals. You want to get through and get a bit of silverware.
Yeah, again, if they can get there. I think this, it's a tournament where not too many people take notice of it until now. Until the semi-finals. Then once you get in the semi-finals, opportunity, get that final. I mean, you would fancy it to be an Inverness and Thistle final. But listen, Rangers Colts, great experience for them. Playing away, playing at Wrexham, playing Wrexham last week again at Hampden, Ibrox, 1-2-0. So these young players are getting experience, but for Partick Thistle, I think it's a great opportunity. And in the past, teams have done quite well in there. I've seen to be a kickstart for a good league campaign as well. So I think it gives you the confidence, it gives you the belief. You know, just everyone just seems to enjoy the day. So I think but a good day for Thistle and Raith Rovers. But Raith Rovers are a decent side, and you know, they certainly, John McGlynn, very experienced manager. There's some good players, and I think, you know, that'll be a tough game for Thistle, but Thistle at home should edge it.
Rangers Colts are playing Inverness Caledonian Thistle in the other semi-final, Mark Goody. You know, you would expect a championship side, especially the calibre of Inverness, to take care of an under 20 side.
Yeah, you would do, but you would never rule Rangers out. The young players have had a couple of good results, particularly when they were away from home against Solihull in the previous round. I think they came from 3-1 down, so there's a fighting spirit there. But yeah, you would fancy Inverness, but it depends where Inverness are on the table at that time, what kind of team John Robertson might want to put out. There's a loads of different dynamics that go into it, but just to focus on the semi-final draw, I think four teams, two attractive ties, that's exactly what the competition's needed.
Yeah, I think there's, as Jim Duffy alluded to, there has been a bit of criticism, especially with the foreign teams coming in and the Colt teams as well. But once you get to this stage, for teams, you know, like Partick Thistle, like Inverness, like Raith Rovers as well, it's a chance to win silverware, which, let's be honest, it's not going to be happening. It's not going to be the Scottish Cup. It's not going to be League Cup, is it?
No, and also it's four Scottish teams, you know, and it's a Scottish competition. I think that's where the debate comes in, whether we should be inviting English teams or Welsh teams and Irish teams, all the stuff into the competition. But for the sponsors, it's great because they're decent games with a decent profile. I think the Rangers Colts will definitely bring in more of a profile because it's Rangers. Ultimately, it's Rangers. Yeah. So that helps the competition. So, yeah, I mean, I think it's as I say, at this stage now, I think it's intriguing. You know, and we'll see what happens with the four teams left in it. But I think there'll be healthier crowds, a little bit more profile, and as I said, you know, we look forward to the semis and then ultimately the final.
Yeah, I think it was 5,500 there at Rangers on Saturday as well.
Well, you think the Matt Warburton's team won the equivalent, which was the Petrofac Cup 3-4 years ago, 50,000 at Hampden.
Yeah, exactly. So in terms of Partick Thistle, they've got another cup game at the weekend. Pennycook is one of the romance of the cup games, I guess. And we've also got Auchinleck against Arbroath, which looks a tasty one. Linlithgow Falkirk. It's good when there are different teams in these competitions, isn't it?
Yeah, I think so. I think that's the glamour of the Scottish Cup. The, you know, the William Hill Scottish Cup kicks in previous couple's rounds. This is a round where you want to get through because the big boys came in January. Stephen, the next round, the draw will be made on Sunday, and then you're into the last 32, is it? So the big teams come into play in January. So I think it's a really attractive third round tie over the course of Friday and Saturday. And one or two shots for me, the standout one, definitely Auchinleck against Arbroath all day long for me. Standout Falkirk as well on the telly. Interestingly, Miller's first game, David McCracken, even get Partick against Pennycook. Pennycook bringing more than 1,500 fans to the game. So lots of really good ties in there. It's brilliant.
Let's speak to Ian in Bearsden. He's a Jags fan. And what are you making of this Colin Weir news then, Ian?
I'm not quite sure. Withdrew his funding for the new training ground after the boardroom coup in which Jackie always put out. And put the old chairman back in again, Beattie. I'm wondering if he's going to actually invest money into the team and the club, or he's just going to take over the shares and hand them back over to the
the fans over a few of the years, but is he going to actually invest money in the team?
I guess that's what's needed, Jim Duffy. If you look at the squad, I'm sure Ian McCall will be looking for funds to change things up in January.
Well, yeah, but again, you know, clubs have got to run themselves. You know, you can't, you don't always have someone coming in waving a magic wand and just throwing a ton of money at it. So if Colin Weir decides that his ultimate role or job is to protect Partick Thistle in the long term, I think that should be a good thing, even for Ian as a Thistle fan. Once he sees his club there for the long term, he may well invest some money in the short term, but I think it'll be limited. I don't think he's going to think, oh, there you are, there's a few million I'm going to throw at it. So, and I don't see any problem with that. I think that, as I said, the club should be structured properly, it should be run properly, and that's the most important thing. You've got a secure club. It wasn't that long ago, and Ian, being a Thistle fan, will know that the club was on its knees and had to you know, ask the fans fundraising and look at that. So, you know, as long as that side's taken away, then that relaxes the club and relaxes the players, the management, the first team management, that is, and they can just focus on their job. I'm sure there will be investment, but I don't think it'll be huge.
Ian, you mentioned the training ground there. That was rumoured, or it wasn't rumoured, it was actually confirmed, I think, with Colin Weir beforehand. Would you like to see that back up and running before maybe he diverts his funds into the first team?
That's a hard call. I think future wise, you need to look at the training ground and the youth academy for the future. I mean, he did come in and clear the debt previously, so there's no doubt they've got a lot of debt hanging over them. But, and I remember Jim, because I was part of the Save the Jags fund years ago when we were really in dire straits. But we're not getting near that just now. We just need to look at the money that's been put into the D United to get them to where they are just now, and something like that needs to happen.
Yeah, but I think, Ian, you said, you know, you had the Save Jags fund, and that those type of things, I think, are just still a warning and still suggest that, you know, things have to be done properly. You know, if Colin Weir, for instance, decides that he wants to move into a different thing, which he's perfectly entitled to do, the club has to be sustainable. It just can't be someone just dangling finance over you all the time. So the club has to be run properly. And I think they will be. I mean, if he's going to be getting in there and he's going to be committing his time and his money, he will continue with the academy. There's no doubt about that. I think that's a case. And whether it's David Beattie or another chairman comes in, then obviously that might be up to the supporters ultimately, because I'm sure they'll have a say in it. But for me, I think it's really positive news for Partick Thistle, and I think that you know, I think the vast majority of fans, I think, would see it that way.
01419511025 is the number, at Clyde SSB. By the way, if you want to get involved in the poll for where we're doing the show tomorrow night, because Gordon Duncan is back, is it going to be in his living room, or is he making him hike it on at the train, basically, because he was obviously a wee bit unwell for earlier on in the week. We will continue with that. Get on it at Clyde SSB if you want to have your say, and we'll set up the full time teaser next on Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Clyde One Super Scoreboard with Thompson's Personal Injury Solicitors. Getting you full compensation is their goal. Talk to Thompsons.com.
This is Clyde One Super Scoreboard with me, Stephen Mill, in for Gordon Duncan, and we'll just try to decide, instead of having it in here tomorrow night and making him get the train, we will be doing it in terms of we'll be doing it from his bedroom or his living room. I'm not sure whether Gordon's bedroom's suitable for stuff like that. So tomorrow night's show will be coming from Gordon Duncan's front living room. If you vote for that, so get to at Clyde SSB if you want to take part in our poll. It's closing very shortly. Also, we must mention some other news around today. Celtic's Mohamed Elneny has been named the Ladbrokes Premiership Player of the Month for October. I mean, he's been playing very well, hasn't he?
He has. He's been a terrific signing. You know, Neil Lennon had identified the wide areas as someone he wanted to bring in, and for Celtic to go and bring in a player of Elneny's quality from Southampton, he has been a great addition to the squad and has just helped Celtic kick on for sure.
He's just another quality player and a whole roster of quality players in Celtic's wide areas, isn't he?
Yeah, I mean, it's the evolving winger. You know, I mean, you know, it used to be, we say the winger stayed out wide by the fullback, delivered across. That's a rarity these days. So Elneny's similar to James Forrest, whereas he times his runs, he comes into those flanks a little bit like Scott Sinclair did for a couple of years as well, and he scores goals and he threatens the goal. And you know, he gets in the blind side of defenders, and his timing and his finishing is very good. So no, he's been a terrific signing for Celtic.
Do you think maybe come the summer that he's a player that Celtic would look to take on in a more permanent basis?
Yeah, I've no doubt if Celtic could do a deal with Southampton, they're probably going to try and do one, or I'd imagine they'd try and Fraser do one for Fraser Forster as well. So is there a double deal in there? I would personally say, see, I think that Fraser Forster would be more gettable, mm-hmm. in terms of, because I think he would want to stay longer term, whereas maybe Elanusi might think, no, I'd rather get back down the road or whatever. But if Celtic can open negotiations with Southampton, you never know what league Southampton's going to be next season. Maybe Southampton might fancy one or two of Celtic's players. I'm not saying they're top players, but you know, ones that might suit Celtic to move on. So yeah, you never know. But I'd certainly think Fraser Forster would be one. Elanusi, 50-50 at best for a permanent move.
Let's move on, and we'll get Craig on in just a wee second. He's got a point about Stephen Naismith in Scotland that we will make. We'll also have a wee chat about Ryan Jack as well, because he's been fantastic the past two games for Scotland. But let's get on with a full-time teaser, because we've only got half an hour left-ish until the end of the show. So thanks to John for sending this one in. And if you want to send one in, it's fulltime@clyde1.com. That's the email address that you send it into. So this is tonight's full-time teaser, and you can get involved at Clyde SSB on Twitter. So for each of the 12 current Premiership sites, name the player with the most World Cup finals appearances who has played for them at some point. Okay, so it's anyone at any time in their career has played for a Scottish Premiership club, but they also have the record number of World Cup finals appearances for that club. Okay, do you understand the question, Jim?
For that country?
No, for that club. For that club. So, for example.
So, is. All right, okay.
How many players? Many we're looking for?
We are looking for 12.
12. One per
yeah,
team.
So one so per team.
Is Henrik Larsson one?
Henrik Larsson, yes, is a correct answer. So for Celtic, Henrik Larsson has 13 World Cup appearances for Sweden. So he has the World Cup appearance record holder for Celtic. So they've got 11 to get. So there's one for each team. Any other one?
Jim Leighton, Aberdeen.
Jim Leighton is an answer for Aberdeen.
Yeah.
And.
Another. Scotland, sorry.
No. And another club.
Hibs.
Hibs is the correct answer. So Aberdeen and Hibs, Jim Leighton.
So that's
three you've got down there. So well, that's.
Claudio Caniggia
is an incorrect answer.
No. I thought you were afraid of the Rangers. Claudio Reyna
is an incorrect answer.
Frank de Boer
is an incorrect answer.
Carlos Bocanegra
is an incorrect answer. At Clyde SSB, if you want to get involved. So, for each of the 12 current Premiership sides, name the player with the most World Cup finals appearances who has played for them at some point. Okay? So, you already have Aberdeen, Hibs, and Celtic. Bless you, Mark. And we will continue that until the end of the show.
I'll throw one more in. Terry Butcher, Rangers.
Terry Butcher is the correct answer. He has 14 appearances, 1982, 1986, and 1990. So, you're looking for another 8 to get to the end of the show. So, that is tonight's full-time teaser. Let's speak to Craig, who is in Cumbernauld tonight. Craig, thank you for hanging on the line. I know you've been hanging on a wee while there. What's your point about Stephen Naismith?
I know what he's saying. How you doing, gents? Very quickly before I do make that point, there was a caller on, I think it was maybe the first caller, who was talking about Gordon Strachan and all the rest of it, and I think Mark Beattie was talking about, you know, the CV Strachan had and stuff. I think when people are talking about Strachan and then McLeish and stuff like that, I actually feel that we're really overly harsh on Alex McLeish. He took an absolute battering from the Scottish fans since he left, and you know, yes, it didn't click ultimately, but we also have to remember we have the opportunity in March because of McLeish. McLeish was the one that guided the team against, you know, he's back right up against the wall in that Nations League to do it. Yes, of course, he should be beating teams like Albania and Israel. Nobody's going to say otherwise. But the fact was, you know, he did and has guided us there. And in terms of his CV and Gordon Strachan's, well, as far as silverware goes, they're pretty much identical. None of them have won silverware as a manager out with Scotland, as far as I'm aware. Alex McLeish has won one, my apologies. So, and certainly when he was in Scotland, he won leagues with Rangers, he won a treble with Rangers, he guided Rangers to the last 16. So he's not a bad manager, he just had a bad run at the end of his Scotland tenure.
Won two trebles with Rangers.
Two, well, exactly. So I think that's
last 16 in the Champions League as well.
Yeah, and I just feel that's a valid point to make because
it's a great point you've made, Craig, in terms of the Nation League. You know, we shouldn't forget that. And yeah, you're right, we would expect over four games to come top of that group. But we're a wee bit fragile when you think of the start. You know, it was a wee bit hear him scare him at times. So yeah, you're right. Alan McLeish got his ear and he does deserve enormous credit for it. And I agree with you too. I just thought, I didn't think it was great in terms of out with that. Some of the results, the performances, the reasons for that, you know, players pulling out, reasons for that we're not 100% sure, and we'll never really get to it, will never be made public. But I thought the way that he was treated by some of the supporters and by some of the people in the media, just as a person, as a human being, I thought at times was absolutely disgusting, and I really felt for him.
Absolutely. You know, so that is why I made that point, because I felt, you know, somewhere down the line it had been made. In terms of Naismith, what I wanted to come on to, I honestly feel, watching Stephen Naismith last night in the Scotland team, it was a relief for me to actually see us have a striker playing up front that, when he got the ball, looked like he might create something, was drawing fouls for defenders, was his hold-up play was great. Now, I know you had a caller on talking about, oh, you know, he's an Indies player and all that. You know, he's certainly not a spring chicken, but frankly, he's still, he's come back for that injury. As long as he's fit right now, without Lee Griffiths, he is our best option up front, and he showed that, because when McBurney and Phillips had their chance, I'm sorry, but they just did not cut it. McBurney, I mean, if he had magnets covered in his body, he couldn't have filled that ball up. And Phillips has had a number of different chances, and for me, he's not a striker. So Naismith is the best option, and just seeing that, I think that made it easier for the midfielders. You know, I was impressed by Palmer. I thought he had a great game, and McGinn as well, obviously. But I think it made it easier for the midfielders to play their game and to know that when they were going forward and they were putting those balls in areas, that they had a proper target man to aim for that could cause problems, and he got his goal in the end. He probably should have had more than the one goal, Naismith. So for me, I just felt as if while Griffiths is out, he's got to be, as far as the striker's concerned, the first name on that sheet right now.
Jim Duffy, do you agree with Craig in terms of it's an area we have been lacking in? I think there's absolutely no argument in terms of that. But Naismith's performances over the last two games, is he in pole position for those games come March, assuming he's fit, of course?
Yeah, listen, it's a difficult one because, I mean, Oliver McBurney's went for £20 million. He's in the Premiership, you know, with Sheffield United. So, you know, most then times you would then say, well, he's got to play because he's playing at a high level and he's younger, he's fitter, he's maybe got a bit more energy, call it what you like. But the thing is, it's not always the best players that make the best team. And we heard John McGinn last night's interview, I think you played it earlier on, Stephen, saying that he felt really good playing with a combination play. He says a partnership with Stephen Naismith. He felt he linked up really well, them on the same wavelength, they understood each other's games. Sometimes when McGinn went forward, you know, Naismith dropped in, and vice versa. So there was a good partnership, a good blend. You don't always need to be the best individual. So it's about the balance of the team. And that, according to John McGinn last night, and Stephen Naismith, seemed to be maybe a better balance than Oliver McBurney playing. Although, if you just take it in isolation, McBurney might be the better option. But as a combination, I think if those two are fit and still performing at the level they're currently at, I think they'll start.
As Jim says, Mark Guidi, it's about finding that right blend. When Gordon Strachan, towards the end of the campaign, his final campaign, it turned it round. It was all around sort of Stephen Fletcher up front. He played a pivotal role in, you know, just a wee bit of guile, wee bit of intelligence up front. And it could be Stephen Naismith's turn, I should say, to do that this time.
Well, you know, if you to go and, you know, if the draw, we knew their opponent in the game was tomorrow, Bulgaria, Hungary, Israel, Romania, right now, who would we pick as our number nine? I think 99% of the nation would pick Stephen Naismith right now if you go and pick one. So if he can keep fit and keep playing, there's no doubt. You know, you can just see that. You know, he's clever, he's popular, he brings his teammates into the game. He's got a great leap in the air. I mean, he's not the tallest, he's not 5'9", but what a leap he's got there. So he's an asset in both boxes when you're defending, as well. He can hold it up, he can drift, he can play number 10, you know, he can drift out wide. He's a top player, and it's maybe it's because he's been missing from Hearts and he had a tough time in Hearts and Loan, and then kind of Norwich City and Everton before that. But you think of Stephen Naismith, and I'm going back 10-12 years, but the kid at Kilmarnock that moved to Rangers, I have to be honest, just looking at him last night, I kind of forgot just how good he was. Mm-hmm. I have to be honest, you know, it was just like one of the ones that saying, "Aye, Naismith, aye, well, he is getting on it." But
that's
when you see him last night,
he has picked up a lot of injuries over the last couple of years.
Yeah, when he's
been
missing,
that will be the concern. Can he stay injury free for the next few months? Can he get a good number of games in? I mean, it's not normal really to just pick someone in with a limited amount of minutes he's had.
Yeah,
but it obviously just shows you how highly Stevie Clark regards him, because you could have put other guys in, like you know, Craig was saying there. You know, I agree though that like Matt Phillips and that, he's not a centre forward that I feel a wee bit sorry for a player who's actually thrown into a position where he's not really that comfortable because we don't have anyone else. It's not really his fault. If Lee Griffiths gets himself back on track again, which we hope he does, then he would definitely be one that you would look at. But again, there's a long way ahead for him.
Craig, you're a Rangers fan. What did you make of Ryan Jack's performances over the two games?
Listen, I thought he looked good. You know, he had a big chance, I have to say, yesterday when the ball sort of broke kindly to him, and it, you know, it was a decent save for the keeper. He probably should have scored it, but I think it was good to see him getting in, you know, actually playing for Scotland again, because he was in the last squad but he never actually made an appearance. And I think it's frustrated Rangers fans purely because you cannot deny that he has been on fantastic form this season, and the maturity he has shown this season as opposed to last season as well is night and day. So he deserves his spot. And I just want to quickly pick up, Jim was talking about McBurnie there, but he might have went to Sheffield for the money he did, and I'm sure he's done, obviously done something right for that to be the case. But I don't know how many chances he deserves to get, because, I mean, one of the problems is his hold-up play. Now, his size doesn't help him. He's built with the side of a fiver. That doesn't help. But he doesn't use any of his speed. When he gets the ball going in behind, he just doesn't have that intelligence. And I know he's played in the Premier League, but for me, when you've had the chances he's had, and he had, you know, with Griffiths being injured and Naismith being injured, you know, he had every opportunity to make himself the number one man, to get that spot was his for the taking, and he's just not, he's not taking it. We have a lack of striking options right now in the national team, and for me, I would worry about playing, particularly if you end up playing the likes of a Romania or a Hungary, who are not pushovers, who are, you know, they're big lads, some of them as well. I'd be worried about playing somebody like McBurnie, who's not that physical.
I've seen the Holly McBurnie playing several games in the English Championship. They are massive down there, massive physically, strong, aggressive, and he more than held his own in that situation. I think that, you know, he might be, wiry, if you want to call it that. You know, he's not, you know, a big, strong strapping boy. But listen, I'm not his biggest fan, and I'm not trying to say, but I do think he needs to defend a little bit. With the games he's been pitched in again, he's been isolated. Was last night in the game previous to that, John McGinn and Naismith played like almost like, you know, one with one behind. But we also had Forrest getting up there. We also had Christie getting up there. We're more on the front foot in the last three games, so there's been more chances. Whereas I think, to be fair to Oliver McBurnie, listen, he came out and made a daft statement, you know, when everybody tried to joke off, you know, and these things don't help either. But I think if he had chances to score, get the ball into the box more, then at least then you're judging the guy, you know, where he's good in around the box. But he's had that kind of lone striker role, and it has been very lonely at times.
Thank you very much for your call, Craig. We'll continue taking your calls next. 01419511025. Just a quick reminder of the teaser. So it's for each of the 12 current Premiership sides. Name the player with the most World Cup finals appearances who has played for them at some point. So we've already got Aberdeen, Hibs, Celtic, which is Jim Leighton for both Aberdeen and Hibs, Henrik Larsson for Celtic, and Rangers, Terry Butcher. Any other advance on that, guys?
I'll try St Mirren.
Yep.
Roy Aitken.
You're bang on. You're on form tonight. Roy Aitken is a correct answer. 6 World Cup final appearances, and played for St Mirren between 1991 and 1992. Jim Duffy, you.
No, that's Steve Archibald. I had actually, but it's not. But again.
So we've got, just to run through the teams we don't have: Hamilton, Hearts, Kilmarnock, Ross County, Livingston, Motherwell, and St Johnston. We're still looking. They do have players who have played in a World Cup, and the minimum is 3. So they've at least all played at 1 World Cup. At Clyde SSB. If you've got a shout for that, and as I say, we'll continue to take your calls next. Also on Clyde SSB, we've got the poll for Gordon Duncan as well. We will update that next for you, and it's looking very close just now.
Clyde One Super Scoreboard with Thompson's Personal Injury Solicitors. They play to win every time. Talk to Thompson's.com.
Welcome back to the final part of tonight's Clyde One Super Scoreboard. It's Stephen Mill in for Gordon Duncan, Mark Guidi and Jim Duffy in the studio. The teaser has got the boys talking during the break there, so I'll just quickly remind you of it. We've got a few answers to go through on Clyde SSB as well. For each of the 12 current Scottish Premiership sides, name the player with the most World Cup final appearances who played for them at some point. So we've already got Aberdeen and Hibs, which was Jim Leighton; Celtic, which was Henrik Larsson; Rangers, which was Terry Butcher; and St Mirren, which was Roy Aitken. Do you need some clues, guys? I think you
definitely
might. Right, okay. Okay, so I'll give you the nationalities of these players. You're missing 2 Scottish players.
For which clubs?
For Hamilton and for Motherwell. Okay.
2 Scots.
Right, okay.
Hamilton. Okay. You've got a Northern Irishman who played for Hearts. You've got an Australian who played for Kilmarnock and Ross County. And you've got someone who represented Togo. Right. Who played for Livingston?
Right, well, I know the Ross County and Kilmarnock is Jackson Irvin.
Is the correct answer. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And you've also got someone who played for the Soviet Union, and he played for St Johnston.
Sergei Baltacher.
Is the right answer. Right, okay, now we're getting somewhere. So you've got a few to get there. Claudio Caniggia is a very popular answer, and it's not the right one, I'm afraid. So don't try that again. So and Dundee aren't in the Premiership anyway, so I don't know why somebody said that. So at Clyde SSB.
I'll try. Motherwell, Scotsman.
Yes.
I'll try Davy Cooper.
Is not the right answer, no. Mark Guidi. But I'll give you a clue. This person has been spoken about on this show tonight. While we have a wee think about that and you digest that wee clue, at Clyde SSB, Gordon Duncan is making his return tomorrow. He has been off for the last few days. He was meant to be on holiday. Unfortunately, he got appendicitis, so I've been covering for him. He is back tomorrow night, the main man. And we've had a poll going on Twitter. So he's feeling a wee bit better. I'm busy tomorrow night. Should he get the train in? Make him get the train, public transport. I know, Jim, you're ranting on earlier on, saying that you can, you know, get the bus and all the rest of it.
I just don't think there's enough room in Gordon's bedroom. He's 4-poster bed, and you know, it's obviously wall mirrors. So therefore, I just can't see how there's enough room for the equipment.
So that was the first option. It was the train or his bedroom. But the people have spoken, and 61% think they should do it from his house tomorrow. So it will be in Gordon Duncan's either living room / bedroom. We'll see about the mirror situation. We might get that sorted. So let's take a call just now and speak to Alec from Parkhead. He's a Celtic fan. Alec, you're on Clyde One Super Scoreboard. What's your point?
Hi, how are you doing, Stephen? Martin, Jim.
Hi, Alec.
Hiya.
Hi. Just obviously, now we're back into the domestic stuff now. Just reading about Griffiths scoring 2 goals last night. I think just the fact you know, that I'm going to be on the bench, you know what I mean? I know he's not going to be 100% fit, but just having that security, having somebody of Griffiths' ability on the bench, you know what I mean? Can only be a good thing, you know what I mean? Because it's going to be a big ask for Hodgson to see us through to the January break, you know what I mean? And also about the boy Liam Butt, you know, scoring a hat-trick, setting up the 2 for Lee Griffiths, you know what I mean? It's going to be a hard nut to crack to get into this Celtic midfield, but you know, maybe if we can get him in and run about the first team squad. And just a last thing about Elanusi, if it's true about the reports, you know, Southampton are looking for between 8 to 10 million, that's within Celtic's limits, you know what I mean? We can go there, and I think that watching this guy at Parkhead, and obviously, you know, on the telly, this guy's the real deal, you know what I mean?
Let's take your points one by one there. Alec, first of all, Lee Griffiths, I think we can all agree it's good to see Lee Griffiths back on a football pitch, scoring twice in a reserve match at Stenhousemuir at Oakle View. And yeah, it's good to see him back, isn't it?
Yeah, I mean, it is good to see him back. There's been a couple of false starts. But the bottom line is, Alec, Lee Griffith's future's in Lee Griffith's hands. As you say, Celtic are crying out for a striker as a backup to Odson Edouard. The national team's looking for another number nine as well, to come into the squad and push Stephen Naismith or Lorne Shankland or Ollie McBurney, however it's going to be. So what Lee Griffiths needs to do is knuckle down 100% and, you know, put all his energy and all his efforts into becoming a first team footballer again and recapturing the physical strength, the fitness, the hunger to go and be that player again. And I'm sure he will. And it's there for him to go and do it, because if he doesn't show it over the next few weeks, Neil Lennon's going to have to go out and buy somebody in January. He can't afford to take a gamble and wait. So basically, for me, Lee Griffiths has got 6 weeks to go and show that he's worthy of being with Celtic. If he doesn't, then he falls in danger of being down in the pecking order, because Celtic will need to go and buy a striker in January.
Liam Burt as well, setting up a couple of goals for Lee Griffiths. It's going to be hard to crack into that Celtic midfield, as Alex said, though.
Yeah, I mean, Celtic's very strong midfield. You know, we've seen just recently against Lazio, Oliver and Cham and get in, and, you know, he can't get nailed down a starting position in a fantastic goal to that victory for Celtic over in Rome. So, you know, they've got embarrassment of riches there. But as far as Lee Griffiths is concerned, I think Neil Lennon will go out in January and bring in another striker. Simply because no one really knows the situation regarding Lee Griffiths. You know, we don't know all the background. We don't know the kind of, whether, you know, he's had muscle injuries. We understand before that he had personal issues. So there's a number of situations. But from Celtic's point of view, they'll help Lee Griffiths as much as possible. But the manager has to try and make sure they try and win the title, which means that, you know, there can't be any kind of guessing game. Is he going to be available? Is he not? So I think they'll definitely go out and bring someone in January to make sure that if anything does happen to Odson Edouard, or they just want to keep pushing, or they just want to have that option, and obviously still, and Celtic will be in Europe because they've got two games to go and they've managed to qualify. So they're hoping that campaign will stay a bit longer as well. So for me, they'll definitely bring someone in. And if Lee Griffiths does get himself back, then it's still another good option to have. But I don't think they can guess that everything's going to be okay.
And as Mark said, good for the national team as well, hopefully. In terms of, very quickly, Mark Woody, Elanusi winning the player of the month for October, 8 to 10 million. Do you think that is, as Alex says, within Celtic's price range? Well, it is. You know, Edouard was signed for 9 million, for example.
Yeah, I mean, Celtic, if they really needed to, yeah, they could go and afford that for sure. But it depends. You know, I don't think they would spend that money if they don't win the league, because then you've not got a chance of getting to the Champions League, Stephen, and recouping that kind of money. So that one for me, yeah, they can afford it, but, you know, depending on circumstances, it might just be a wee bit too rich for them.
Do you all think, Mark, as well, that Edouard's bought with the potential of they will have already, with a very double, treble, call what you like, but that is a 20-year-old bringing him in, whereas Elanusi, I'm not saying he couldn't increase in value, but it's easier when you've got a younger player to develop and realise that potential further down the line.
Definitely, yep, for sure.
We are rapidly approaching the end of the show. Thank you very much for your call, Alec. We need to wrap up the full-time teaser before we go as well. So you've still got Hamilton, Hearts, Livingston, Motherwell to get. So it is 12 current Scottish Premiership sides that have the most World Cup finals appearances.
Did you say Northern Ireland for Hearts?
Yes, yeah,
I'm not sure. Did Nigel Worthington play for Hearts on loan for a while? No?
I'm not sure on that. That is not the right answer, though. Hamilton will go very quickly. He's a goalkeeper, played two World Cups for Scotland.
Oh, Alan Ruff.
Alan Ruff is the correct answer. Hearts.
I get you, Livy, because I remember Livy, because there's not that many players. Only when you say to look, Stephen Lawson.
It's not. It's Sheriff Toure, my man. The other one is for Northern Ireland for Hearts was David McCreary.
And the final one,
you'll be kicking yourself for Motherwell. He managed them as well, and he managed Scotland twice.
Alex McLeish
is the right answer. That is it for tonight's Clyde One Super Scoreboard. Remember, tomorrow we will be coming live from Mark Weedy, blowing his nose there. We'll be coming live from ML1, live from Gordon Duncan's house. The main man makes his return. He'll be alongside Mark Wilson and Gordon DL. That is it from me, Stephen Mill. Thank you very much for having me over the past few days. Thank you very much to Jim Duffy and Mark Reedy tonight as well. And Callum Gallagher is up next. The wee man will take you through until 10 o'clock. Have a good Wednesday night.